$100 Fairground in Chico. That's the 42nd Christmas Artisans Fair starting Friday, December 2nd. And by Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner. Ken believes in the importance of community radio and encourages other members of the medical community to join the KZFR underwriting family. That's Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, non-human radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Because yesterday was Giving Tuesday, we thought that today would be a good day to take a hard look at so-called animal gifting programs. In particular, we're going to look at Heifer International, which is a large U.S.-based animal gifting nonprofit based in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah, okay. So let's uncover what's going on with this program and with others.
During the holiday gift-giving season, a popular gift for gift donations are programs that give live farm animals to help alleviate, or in theory, hunger and poverty in low-income countries. And with a little help from our friends at A Well-Fed World, we're going to look at some weaknesses in these very well-intentioned programs. A Well-Fed World is a hunger relief and animal protection nonprofit chipping away at two of the world's most immense, unnecessary, and unconscionable forms of suffering. The suffering of people hungry from lack of food and the suffering of animals used and abused for food.
We want our listeners to know that there are problems with the Heifer International model of animal gifting. Primarily, these gifts don't necessarily help and sometimes even harm the recipients. Heifer International is by far the largest nonprofit that markets this kind of so-called compassionate aid to low-income countries. Other major hunger relief groups also have animal gifting programs as part of their other activities, including Global Oxfam and many, many smaller programs. If you Google animal gifting, you'll find a lot of small-scale programs also. In general, I don't like the way these organizations co-opt and thwart your good intentions. And we're going to go through a number of reasons. Reason number one, cows. Cows are among the most common gift animals or animals gifted to these families. And yet, most recipients are lactose intolerant and indeed harmed by dairy. Increased dairy production is frequently touted as one of the greatest successes of these animal gifting programs. But when 75% of the world is lactose intolerant and 90% of Asian and African populations toward whom these programs are aggressively targeted are lactose intolerant, the emphasis on dairy shows an almost, I don't know, sort of colonial attitude towards the recipients. Additionally, animal giving programs seem to focus on small-scale farming, but they have extremely large-scale implications that pave the way for factory farming. And according to A Well-Fed World, Heifer International is largely considered responsible for the kickoff of industrialized dairy in Japan after World War II. It's an old organization, right? And this is one of its major successes, bringing dairy to a lactose-intolerant Asian population. Heifer International also boasts that their projects produced about 3.6 millions of gallons of milk in Uganda, and it developed a national dairy program in Tanzania where there was none before.
Yes, so reason number two, more farmed animals does not equate to less hunger. Pro-meat biases mean that sustainable local plant crops that actually provide better nutrition and more income are often overlooked. Teff, for example, is one of Ethiopia's oldest grains. It is drought and heat tolerant and also packed with protein and calcium. It's also pretty delicious.
Yeah, so if anybody's ever had Ethiopian food and they've had injera, which is the fermented flatbread that is like ubiquitous with every meal, that's made from teff.
Right. They're not serving you that on a slab of cheese. according to Richard Openlander, a respected world hunger researcher, 70% of Ethiopia's cattle are raised pastorally in the highlands of their country, where less than 100 pounds of meat and a few gallons of milk are produced per acre of land used. Researchers have found that teff can be grown in these same areas by the same farmers at a yield of 2,000 to 3,000 pounds per acre, with more sustainable growing techniques employed and, importantly, no extra irrigation. Teff has been shown to grow well in water-stressed areas and is pest resistant. I mean, this is why it was their traditional food, and I think this goes back to Jeannie's comment that it's somewhat colonialism to come in and say, here, we're going to gift you our food and not actually, you know, restore your native food that was how your country evolved.
Yeah, and look at the metrics here, right? We're looking at 100 pounds of meat.
Right.
X number of gallons of milk compared to a ton or more per acre.
Right.
Right. So just the economics and the environmental impacts of those two, you know, comparing those two, it should be clear that these animal-based programs are not necessarily carefully thought out. I mean, no doubt they're well-intentioned, no doubt. But are they the appropriate solution?
Right.
I say no.
Let's give them farming equipment. Reason number three, more farmed animals mean more mouths to feed, both human and non-human. It's sort of basic there. So many recipients of animal gifting programs struggle to provide even the most basic care to the animals they receive. Animals must be provided food and water in areas where these resources are already scarce. Having another mouth to feed can significantly add to a family's burden, and the animals frequently suffer from neglect, malnutrition, dehydration, lack of veterinary care, and lack of shelter from extreme temperatures. One of the major criticisms of Heifer International are its lack of critical evaluations of the benefits of its projects in the long run. Do the families that receive aid benefit over a 5 or 10 year period? How do these families compare to, say, families that receive straight financial aid, or to families that receive insurance to help tide over bad weather cycles?
Right. So, yeah, the metrics are important. The competent evaluations, the unbiased evaluations are important. And I just don't think that that's happening. I think that money goes into providing and helping build maybe some of these structures to house the animals. But is that really what's needed?
It sounds fishy, for lack of a better word, if they've been doing this for 50 or more years and aren't collecting metrics or reporting on these metrics about how successful these things are, other than the kind of the previous ones about we got lots of beef now, as far as does it actually work.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio, where Jeannie Trezina, myself, and Danny Toms, my co-host over here, are talking about animal rights and veganism, and in particularly Heifer International and the critique from A Well-Fed World, a nonprofit organization, on Heifer International.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it sounds very good. I've seen their marketing. Way back in the day, I saw their ads, and it makes sense why it appeals to people. It sounds like, hey, you give these guys a cow and they're set. It's a self-sustaining, reproducing, you know, you helped them. But as we're discussing, it doesn't necessarily equate to actually helping them. It sounds better.
I think what it does is it resonates with the American ideal.
Yep.
And
go west, a couple vegetables, a couple chickens, and you got a homestead and you're set.
Yeah, the little house on the prairie type, ideal, idyllic view, I think, in part, that's what's working here. So on to reason number four. Reason number four, not to support Heifer International. Farmed animals do not just, quote, live off the land, unquote. They require significant time and energy to not only feed and house, as we talked about in the prior reason, and also to provide veterinary care. In response to criticism that promoting animal agriculture in regions already plagued by desertification and drought is irresponsible, Heifer International and other organizations have implemented what they call so-called zero grazing requirements. And fortunately, the implementation of zero grazing means that confined animals must actually have food and water brought to them. And this food and water usage can be in direct competition with human needs. Zero grazing, then, is not only bad for the animals who are confined, it's also bad for the people, often the kids, who must use their time, labor, and resources to bring food and water to the animals instead of, say, you know, the kids going to school or the adults engaging in some other type of trade or some other type of farming, like farming teff if you're in Ethiopia.
This doesn't make any sense. This is definitely thanks, but no thanks. You gave us a cow, and now we have to give it our water and feed it and stay home. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, and you know, and where you look at these whether these are appropriate, like, so if you look at sub-Saharan Africa, that's
right.
Undergoing desertification and weather changes, does it make sense to give them a cow, which is not which is going to draw on more resources to keep alive?
Right.
I don't know. I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Reason number five. As in the United States, farmed animals use a great deal of water and produce a great deal of waste. Is this a wise use of a precious resource? Raising animals requires up to 10 times more water than growing crops for direct consumption. Yet, organizations such as Heifer International promote inherently water-intensive animal farming, even in areas identified as water scarce.
Right, like sub-Saharan Africa.
Yes. This means that the already limited freshwater supplies are diverted to the animals for hydration, sanitation, and the cultivation of the forage used to feed them. Obviously, this is in direct competition with the drinking water needs of the local communities, as well as with the supply of water available to grow foods for human consumption, like fruit and nut trees or produce.
Yeah, and you know, and what's missing from this particular argument that A Well-Fed World made is that it doesn't include the water needs of the environment.
Right.
So if you have needs of animals, agriculture animals, cows, goats, chickens, and the needs of humans, there's a third need that goes on, right? And that's the need of the environment. It's the need of riparian areas or even seasonal creeks.
Yeah. As everyone is aware of in the North State here, and our big fear, if you start sucking out all this groundwater, what's going to happen?
Right.
It takes a long time to come back. I would imagine it's going to take a lot longer to come back in sub-Saharan Africa. So this alone should really make animal gifting program something us water-savvy Californians would not support. What are some better ideas than Heifer International or what they could do? To start with, initiatives such as drip irrigation projects for growing crops that are more sustainable and ecologically sound and have already helped provide an alternative livelihood to many of the existing pastoralists and subsistence farmers. With micro-irrigation, crops can be grown year-round, supplying families with sources of food as well as income from any surplus harvest. I think that's a great idea, that kind of micro-irrigation, again, especially in sort of drought-stricken areas, if you can really, you know, water is life, so no dapple, as we would say.
Yeah, and the thing is that there are already nonprofits doing this.
Right.
You know, so it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel. It just means that we need to think a little more consciously about where we're giving.
And they're probably also not, you know, blasting mailers everywhere to try to get you to donate money to them.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, well,
Let's see. And Jeannie, what's reason number six?
Reason number six, poverty experts disapprove of animal gifting.
Even the experts disapprove of this.
Well, I'm sure that there's disagreement among the experts, but the experts we're looking at, they disagree with this. The group the World Land Trust calls animal gifting programs madness, environmentally unsound, and economically disastrous. They have a report that concluded, quote, "Now that the grave consequences of introducing large numbers of goats and other domestic animals into fragile, arid environments is well documented, the World Land Trust considers it grossly irresponsible to continue with these schemes as a means of raising quick money for charities over the Christmas season." So, yeah, it is madness to send goats, cows, and chickens to areas where they will add to the problems of drought and desertification.
Yeah, I mean, and as people know from, like, the Amazon, once you slash and burn or once you introduce cattle into a landscape, they pound that dirt down, and you lose the topsoil, And it's very hard to restore that, ever grow any sort of plant again.
Yeah, there was actually an interesting quote from the former Indian Minister for Social Welfare and Animal Protection. His name was Maneka Gandhi, and he explained that when goats are allowed or forced by consequences to graze, each goat eats all the grass and shrubbery. That's the difference between cows and goats, by the way.
Right.
Goats will eat your shrubs and your trees on 2 hectares of land a year. Each goat eats all the grass and shrubbery on 2 hectares of land per year. A goat then destroys the fertility of the land, and the value of any milk or dung it may give is very little compared to the havoc it wreaks. Within 2 years, the people who get goats have even poorer lifestyles. That goes with the long-term accountability and metrics of these giving programs. What's happening after time?
And we don't have this guy's data, but there's a lot of people in India, so I'm sure he had a lot of examples of seeing this happen directly there.
Onward
to reason number 7. Animal gifting programs are misleading for the donors. If you've ever received a Heifer International catalog around the holidays, you'll notice that they are very fancy, they're shiny, they're expensive to print and mail. In fact, they spend huge amounts of money on the colorful catalogs that depict cute children hugging and kissing healthy, happy animals. The hard facts are that those happy-faced children who are supposed to benefit from animal gifts may actually be taken out of school to tend to the animals. A possible scenario is that these kids might even need to sleep in the barns with the animals to prevent theft or predation. And ultimately, most of their animal friends will suffer painful deaths due to disease, deprivation, and, of course, slaughter.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll just chime in here about the slaughter part.
Mm-hmm.
So in the United States, we've talked about the laws that we have to enforce, quote, humane slaughter, right? At least
right.
we have something on the books, but right. that only comes into play over decades of animal activists basically pushing for these kinds of controls, right?
Right.
And that kind of infrastructure, that type of bureaucracy, just isn't in place.
Right.
And it isn't enforceable in place in a lot of these lower-income countries, right?
Right.
So in terms of the slaughter aspect of these animals that are being gifted, I don't think that they will all be swiftly or humanely killed when they when they're no longer productive. Onward about the catalogs.
Yeah, the catalogs are also misleading in that you seem to be able to choose which animal you might want to send as a gift donation. If you're vegetarian, you might opt for something like the bee or fruit tree programs that they have listed. But in reality, your donations may not go towards the purchase of what you selected. The Heifer International website states that monies from any animal fund can be used wherever needed most.
Right. So you're encouraged to donate $50 for a goat. But
that's some fine print right there.
Yeah, really.
Any charity that solicits money for a purpose and then is like, but we might spend it wherever we want. I mean, that's sketchy. So that's a broad overview of problems with animal giving programs. They look flashy and they satisfy our sort of innate desire to give someone something tangible, especially around the holidays. But for all of the reasons we've talked about, there are probably better ways to give your hard-earned money.
Yeah, and there are options. There are always options. You just need to look carefully about your choices
right.
and look at options. So
there are lots of also Charity Finder websites.
Yeah, Charity Finder, Giving Well is mm-hmm. another one, and they do analyses of whether your money is well spent. So A Well-Fed World listed 4 plant-based international programs that they partner with, and any one of which would be more efficient use of your money than giving it to Heifer International. A Well-Fed World works with the group International Fund for Africa to provide immediate and long-term assistance to some of the world's most vulnerable children through its innovative and multi-pronged school health and nutrition program. So in addition to funding local staff and equipment purchases, the program builds income-generating bakeries and produces gardens that will sustain the recipients indefinitely. In each school that the International Fund for Africa supports, nearly 100 children who are in the most dire need receive a daily meal, health monitoring, and vaccinations. So this raises like an interesting sort of approach to how Heifer spends its money. Heifer mm-hmm. spends its money to create basically animal farmers, right? This program spends its money to produce small business entrepreneurs.
Right.
Right? People making food. So it, in other words, it's aimed more at helping people already in an urban or suburban environment or a village type thing, as opposed to somebody who's got some parcel of land in which they graze their animals.
Right.
So, next, A Well-Fed World also supports the nonprofit group Plenty International in Guatemala. This group works with ag experts to grow and distribute three varieties of non-GMO soybeans for farming families. Plenty International's project, spin-off project called Karen's Nutrition Program, works with women to improve the nutrition of undernourished children living in extreme poverty at the Guatemala City landfill. We're talking about urban impacts, right? This is where a lot of people are living.
Right.
So if you want to help more people feed themselves, it makes sense to sort of look where people are, right?
Right.
Which is they're in the cities.
Right.
So anyway.
Especially in sort of impoverished nations, people have moved to the cities, and that's why the cities have these terrible ghettos and favelas and whatnot, because obviously at least they're closer to some resources.
So the bakery program produces enough fortified bakery goods and soy milk to distribute to 400 kids living at the dump site. And then they have extra to sell for other expenses. And then finally, A Well-Fed World supports a vegan meals for the poor program in India, which provides wholesome meals that are packed in palm leaves and they look pretty good, that are delivered to the poorest of the poor. Their pilot project started out really small. I think it was just 40 people, but you have to start somewhere.
And it actually, packing things in palm leaves or banana leaves sounds weird to us, but it's actually a very sustainable and clean and smart thing to do.
And then there's also some programs in the United States. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about those?
Yeah. So A Well-Fed World supports the Grow Where You Are project, which is a team of veganic farmers and food justice activists who work to improve personal food security by planting backyard and community food gardens. These gardens increase families' access to fresh fruits and vegetables in urban food deserts. Locally in Chico, the group From the Ground Up Farms was founded in 2013 to start community gardens on unused empty lots, beginning in our poorest neighborhoods. This group has helped establish many of the existing community gardens in Chico, including the great gardens like the Butte County Juvenile Probation Garden.
Right, so it's you're getting young people.
They're doing all kinds of great stuff.
Yeah.
They're on Facebook. You can follow them. The project expects to involve residents of all ethnicities and backgrounds to work with experienced farmers and educators and to learn how to garden. As a byproduct, the community gardens bring neighborhoods together by building bridges between cultures as individuals work hand-in-hand to feed their families. Also, critically, the program hopes to supply fresh fruits and vegetables to after-school and summer lunch programs for free. The program also is planning to impact some of our homeless by offering work for food programs and other opportunities. You can find out more about their program at the website fromthegroundupfarms.org.
And on Facebook. Yeah. So that's kind of the seven reasons not to support Heifer International and some ideas for other places where you can send your money that will have an impact, both locally and then also internationally.
For sure. All right, so moving on now, it's time for the Animal Rights Calendar events. What's coming up, Jeannie?
All right. Well, I just want to give folks a heads up. It's not really an event, but the Winchester Goose at 9th Street and Broadway is stepping up its vegan game. Every Wednesday evening, they offer some kind of vegan bar food, including things like vegan sliders, vegan mac and cheese, chili, and some other items. So since Non-Human Radio is on Wednesday, I just thought it'd be appropriate to announce one other little way you can keep the vegan vibe going if you're not already vegan. And so, you can get a beer and ask for the vegan special, and you can tell them Non-Human Radio sent you.
There you go.
So, next up, on December 5th, a new group has formed in Chico called the Plant-Based Health Gains and Weight Loss Group. They're a meetup group, and they're having their first meeting on Monday, December 5th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at New Earth Market, which is at East Avenue and Cohasset in Chico. It's a free event, so go check it out and learn more about the Whole Foods plant-based approach to eating, which is the foods that we talk about, that we share here on the radio, are not whole foods. They're all plant-based, but they're not necessarily whole foods.
I don't think my waffles fit into their program.
Well, they're like, you know, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, or we've talked about burgers, and we've talked about Ike's,
yeah,
the sandwich shop. So those are not whole foods type edibles, and this is going to be more oriented towards the whole foods, kind of low-fat kind of way of eating. So, and I'm hoping maybe we'll get the organizer of that group to come on the show and talk about what the group's activities will be. She's a nice lady, so yeah. Then coming up on December 10th, Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary in Colfax is holding a Christmas celebration on Saturday, December 10th from 3 to 7 p.m. Children's book illustrator Kara Shunk will be there to read and sign her new children's book, Santa's First Vegan Christmas.
You know, the old milk and cookies thing is a little problematic sometimes.
Yeah, some soy milk. And actually, you know, Oreos are accidentally vegan. So I say go with a soy milk, almond milk, or silk nog, something like that, and some Oreos for Santa. So you'll have a chance to snack on holiday goodies, maybe the aforementioned Oreos.
If we send Santa to the plant-based health gains, he will get down that chimney faster
with
your presents.
Yes, he will. Anyway, so yeah, and there'll be a chance to visit with Santa and probably take pictures. So you can register for that event at the sanctuary's website at blackberrycreek.org. Also on Saturday, December 10th, is the Performing Animal Welfare Society's Open House. If your only experience of captive wild animals has been at a zoo or locally at our Kirshner Roadside Zoo, you really owe it to yourself to see what captivity can and should be like. The 2,300-acre Paws Sanctuary has African and Asian elephants, as well as tigers, bears, lions, and a few other amazing animals. And you can buy tickets for the event at paws.org. It's a long drive, but I think it'll be worth it. I'm going.
Let me think about 2,300 acres versus any zoo you've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so anyway, that's it. That's all I have for the calendar right now. If you have an event or other news to share, send us an email at chicovegan@gmail.com and tell me all about it and we can talk about it. So we have one last bit of business to take care of. Please do the honors, Danny.
Okay. The animal rights thought of the week is an Albert Einstein quote, which you may have heard before. It goes like this. We cannot solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. We think that's appropriate when considering whether to donate to Heifer International to help replicate animal agricultural systems in other countries, especially considering that our own are not sustainable.
Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. And
you've been listening to Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist Rockers Rise Against.
If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, visit the archives at kzfr.org/shows/nonhumanradio. This is Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind,
and go vegan.